Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's August the 7th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. In agricultural news, the House version of the new farm bill has been called good policy. Too bad the president is thinking about vetoing it. But on the other hand, he's wanting everybody to get together for a little climate change party in September. I'll have all the details of these and other stories shortly. It's a Tuesday, and you know what that means. During the growing season, we'll get the latest updates on crops in Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana. Oh, and don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us, won't you, for this edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Pines Plus Waterscapes and Nature's Way Incorporated, now carrying neem oil, a naturally organic product with many uses around the home. Information on neem oil is at Pines Plus Waterscapes, Champaign, 355-2266, or Nature's Way Incorporated in Effingham, 800-369-1247.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon from the wheat pit, nearby September contract was a penny and a half lower at $6.62 and a half. December futures at $6.82 and a half were down 1 cent, and next year's July were a quarter cent higher at $5.59 for the day. September corn futures 335 and a quarter, 9 and a half cents higher. December futures up 9 for the harvest month at $3.52 on the settlement. And the March corn futures at 367 and a half, up 8 and a quarter. The May contract at 377 and a quarter, up 8 and three quarters. July futures were up 7 and a quarter at 385 and three quarters. September's at 390 and a quarter, are up 6 and a quarter. And next year's December futures were 6 cents higher at 399 and one quarter. The March contract for 2008 up 6 and a half cents at 406 and one half. September oats gained a penny and a half today at 262. Soy complex now, August beans 838 and a half, up 12 and a half. September futures 847 on the settlement, up 12 and three quarters. And November beans 12 and 3 quarters higher at 862 and 3 quarters. January futures 13 cents higher at 876 and 3 quarters. In the March contract, up 13 and a quarter at $8.87 and 3 quarters. May futures at 895 were up 12. July 12 and a half higher at 905 and a half. August bean meal futures at 226 were up 530. August bean oil at 3672. We're up 18 for the day. From the Mercantile Exchange, August feeder cattle at 114.72 and a half are down 1.52 and a half. September's were off $2.12 and a half at 114.40. August live cattle $91.90, down $1.47, and the October futures at $1.82 and a half lower, were at 95.87 and a half. Lean hog futures now, August contract $75.07 and a half, up 50 cents on a Tuesday. October futures were down $2.47 and a half at 72.57 and one half this afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, is away today, and he told me that prior to the start of the show. I just happened to forget it. John Hester, though, from L&M, is with us. He's graciously filling in. We appreciate you being with us this afternoon, John. Thanks much.
Yeah, thank you, Todd.
I know that Wayne will be off this week and I think next week, too, so we'll get to talk to you just a little bit. What'd you hear on the Squawk Box or from the floor today about the reasons for the rally in the grains?
Okay, it was very light volume today. Market did open as expected, 1 to 2 lower in the corn and the beans, and they thought basically there was no new market or no new earth-shattering news to move the market, and the traders, I think, immediately started thinking about the good demand for corn and beans we had, reduced supplies, the new crop export demand is good, and sales, and then World Oil at some point in time this morning lowered their 07-08 bean production world numbers, and you know, and the weather forecast did not change. They're still talking hot and dry for in the next 10 to 14 day forecast, especially for the southern part of the Midwest or southern half. And I think a combination of all these things, and plus there was, evening up positions before the Friday USDA report, and I think there was profit-taking, and they just didn't want to be too short, and took money, and the market rallied because there was more buyers than sellers.
Tell me about what you're hearing from clientele there in Indiana and how conditions have deteriorated in across the state. We know that the northeastern portion of the state has been really harshly hit. What are you hearing from other portions of the area?
I'm here in Newmarket, and that is about 45 miles due east of Indianapolis. And we're dry here. Stuff looks really exceptionally good for the amount of water we've had. I don't know how it can look as good as it does. Now, yield, I don't know yet, but you go 25 miles east of here, it's a lot drier, and they're really stressed there. It's noticeably different driving down the road. You go 25, 30 miles south of here, they're in a garden spot of probably the state of Indiana from Terre Haute East.
Hmm.
I mean, it's just whether you had the luck of the draw and happened to be under the right rain cloud when it went over.
And then as you look out to Friday and the USDA reports, do you have a working number that you and Wayne have been talking about and working with as far as crop size for both the corn and the beans?
National average, you mean, or just the state?
National average.
Him and I kind of, we don't think that the government will change. We think they'll leave it around 150 to 151 in the corn and somewhere between 41 and 42 in the beans. I think it's too early for them to change very much, just the uncertainty of, what damage the heat and the drought has done. The average trade guess is that they've put out is about 151.3 in the corn, which would be an increase of one bushel per acre, and in the beans they've raised it from 41.5 bushels per acre to 41.9 is the average guess. So really the trade is thinking also that they're not going to change it much at this early date.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go for the day, John?
No, I'm glad to talk to you, and I hope it's cool up there.
Well, it's not cool, but we'll see if what we can do. I'm not sure that there's much to do except to suffer through the heat at this point.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right,
enjoyed John. It. Bye.
Mm-hmm. John Hester is at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, joining us on a Tuesday afternoon. He's filling in for Wayne Nelson, who is away this afternoon. A couple things to remind you of. You ought to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all kinds of things, including a way to subscribe to our weekend newsletter, along with a way to listen to the Daily Ag programming. The MP3 files are there for you to download, either as broadband or dial-up. And you can also subscribe to the podcast of the WILL programming that you listen to each and every day here on the station. That includes the pre-opening and opening market reports, the closing market report, and Commodity Week. It's all at willag.org. Well, at the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own AM 580's Mike Sola says tonight across the two-state region in northern and central sections, it'll be partly to mostly cloudy. There will be a few showers and thunderstorms in the south, mostly clear. Lows will range from 68 in northwestern Illinois to 76 in southwestern Illinois. Wednesday in northwestern Illinois, partly to mostly cloudy with a few scattered showers and some thunderstorms. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny with widely scattered thunderstorms. Highs will range from 86 in northern Indiana to about 100 in southwestern Illinois. The extended forecast says there will be occasional thunderstorms and some showers, which should continue in the northern sections, especially in northwestern Illinois, right through the weekend. Southern locations may miss out on all that precip, with the exception of a few random thunderstorms. Soil moisture deficits in southeastern Illinois and through southern Indiana will worsen in most locations. By the way, an excessive heat warning in effect for southwestern and far west central Illinois through Friday evening. A heat advisory is in effect for much of central and southwestern Illinois and most of Indiana for the next several days.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In today's agricultural news, a senator says the president is wrong about the farm bill. Speaking to the 24th International Sweetener Symposium, Minnesota Senator Norm Coleman says President Bush is simply wrong when he talks about vetoing this farm bill. Coleman, who spoke via conference call, was in Minnesota dealing with the aftermath of the recent Twin City Bridge collapse. He said efforts to recover and rebuild after this tragedy have demonstrated that some issues are simply bigger than one party, noting that the farm bill is another example of how Democrats and Republicans can come together. Coleman called the bill good policy, and he added, good policy becomes good politics. Speaking of politics, good or bad, the House energy bill has set some goals. The House passed energy legislation would promote conservation and the use of renewable resources at the expense of the country's oil and gas interest. The bill would require more energy efficiency in appliances, buildings, and power grids, which proponents of the bill say would reduce carbon dioxide emissions and electricity use. It also would promote grants for studies to promote ethanol pipelines, installation of pumps for 85% ethanol fuel at gas stations, and the production of cellulosic ethanol. We'll stay with politics and move to climate change. President George Bush is meeting the pledge he made last May to convene the world's leading economies, including the most prolific polluters, to find a solution to the problem of climate change. The president has formally extended an invitation to the top officials from the world's leading economic powers to take part in a climate change summit. The summit would establish voluntary goals for lowering greenhouse gas emissions while sustaining growth. In the letter of invitation, Mr. Bush said science has deepened our understanding of climate change and opened new possibilities for confronting it. He said his approach to reducing greenhouse gas emissions would allow countries to find their own best paths to reducing pollution. The climate change meeting would be scheduled for September the 27th and 28th in Washington, D.C., and would be hosted by Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Listening to the Closing Market Report, this is WILL AM 580. Don't forget to visit our website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. While you're there, please sign up for our absolutely free weekend newsletter. Just hit subscribe. And don't forget that you can always go back and listen to some of the programming you hear on the radio station during the day at willag.org. You'll find the opening and the pre-opening market reports, the Closing Market Report, and Commodity Week, along with Sue Martin. That's at willag.org as MP3 files. Portions of those programs are also available as podcast at willag.org. USDA has released the latest crop progress report for August the 5th. It says 96% of the corn crop has silked. That's just like last year. 41% is in the dough stage, 7 percentage points ahead of the 5-year rolling average. But listen up, because Illinois is the state throwing the curve off. It's nearly 20 points better. 9% of the nation's corn crop is dented, and while it is in declining condition, it's still in pretty good shape, with 56% said to be in good or excellent condition, and that's really close to the average. On the soybean side of the ledger, the beans are in the same boat on that note. 56% of the crop in good or excellent condition. 90% of the crop has bloomed, rather 92%. 69% of set pods, and that's just about the same as last year, but ahead of the 61% five-year average. Now, here are the statisticians from the five top corn-growing states in the nation.
This is Joe Prusaki, State Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending August 5, 2007. Heat and humidity early in the week brought more stress to crops already lacking moisture. However, by week's end, showers brought much-needed relief to crops. Insecticide spraying increased in soybean fields due to large population of aphids. Temperatures for the week as a whole averaged from 1 to 2 degrees cooler than normal across northern Iowa to 3 to 4 degrees warmer than normal over the southern part of the state, with a statewide average of 1.3 degrees above normal. Statewide average precipitation was 1 inch, nearly matching the weekly normal of 1.08 inches. There were 5.7 days suitable for field work compared to 5.2 days last year at this time. Topsoil moisture rated 43% very short or short, 54% adequate, and 3% surplus across Iowa. Subsoil moisture rated 42% very short or short, 56% adequate, and 2% surplus. The condition of the corn crop is rated 12% very poor or poor, 27% fair, and 61% good or excellent. And this is nearly the same as last week. Corn soaked at 96% is 2 percentage points behind last year, but one day ahead of normal. Corn and milk stage is at 71%, 2 days ahead of last year and 11 days ahead of the five-year average. Corn and dough stage is at 28%, 2 percentage points ahead of last year and 5 percentage points ahead of the five-year average. Soybean condition is rated 9% very poor or poor, 26% fair, and 65% good or excellent. These ratings are slightly poorer than last week. Soybeans blooming at 97% or 1 percentage point ahead of last year in the five-year average. 82% of soybeans are setting pods, 1 percentage point ahead of last year and 7 percentage points ahead of the five-year average. This has been Joe Prusaki with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending August 5, 2007.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending August 5th. Soybean crop conditions deteriorated across the state last week due to above-normal temperatures and below-normal rainfall. The southern to southwestern regions of the state have been the hardest hit, with the rest of the state benefiting from good rainfall over the past month. Farmers in the wettest areas of the state are expecting good yields, but with the upcoming week predicted to be another hot one, farmers are concerned that yield potential could be cut. Soybean aphids began to show up in significant numbers across areas of northern Illinois last week, and aerial spraying began in full force in the hardest hit areas. Fog and heavy overnight dews are also leading to the formation of diseases in soybeans such as white mold. Statewide topsoil moisture declined again last week with an average rating of 20% very short, 34% short, 45% adequate, and 1% surplus. This was a decline of 19 percentage points in the combined adequate and surplus categories. The corn crop continued to advance about 1 week ahead of normal with 73% reported in the dough stage. This compares to 61% 1 year ago and leads the five-year average of 54% by 19 points. 18% of the crop was reported in the dense stage compared to 14% 1 year ago and for the five-year averages. 1% of the crop was rated mature. The crop reporting district leading the state in corn maturity was the Southwest District with 40% in the dense stage. Overall, the state's corn crop condition held basically steady with a rating of mostly good to excellent. Soybean blooming was reported at 96%, which compares to 94% 1 year ago and 92% for the five-year average. 78% of the plants were setting pods, compared to 65% reported 1 year ago and 16 points ahead of the five-year average of 62%. The crop reporting district leading the state in soybean maturity was the Central District, with 96% of the plants setting pods. Overall, the state's soybean condition declined by 5 points in the good to excellent category with a rating of 2% very poor, 7% poor, 23% fair, 47% good, and 21% excellent. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Steve Parn reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending August 5, 2007. Corn conditions rated 76% good or excellent, well above last year's 54% rating. Irrigated fields rated 87% good or excellent, while dryland fields rated 59, both above year-ago levels. Soybean conditions rated 71% good or excellent, well above last year's 38% condition. Alfalfa conditions rated 58% good or excellent, well above last year's 23%. Wild hay conditions rated 71% good or excellent, well above last year's 19%. Oats harvested was 94%, near last year's 95% and even with the average. Sorghum conditions rated 82% good or excellent, well above last year's 45%. Pasture and range conditions rated 57% good or excellent, well above last year's 6%. This has been Steve Parn of the USDA's NASS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office, reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending August 5, 2007. 84% of the state's cropland was rated short or very short on topsoil moisture supplies. Pasture conditions dropped, with 78% rated as poor or very poor. Harvest of oats, wheat, and barley continued ahead of the average pace, pushed by the hot and dry weather. Some producers were reported applying insecticide for soybean aphids in the southern portions of the state. The average temperature for the week was 72 degrees, 1.9 degrees above normal. Statewide, topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday were rated 53% very short, 31% short, 16% adequate, and 0% surplus. As of Sunday, August 5th, 71% of the corn acreage was in the milk stage, compared to 45% for the five-year average. Corn in the dough stage was 18%, compared to 7% for the average. 77% of the soybeans were setting pods, compared to 62% for the average. 29% of the spring wheat acreage was harvested, compared to 18% for the average. 76% of the oats were harvested, compared to 47% for the average. As of Friday, August 3rd, 25% of the field corn and 41% of the soybeans were rated in good or excellent condition. Other crop ratings in good or excellent condition were spring wheat, 69%, potatoes, 87%, sunflowers, 74%, sugar beets, 64%. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending August 5th, 2007. I'm Doug Hartwig with USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NASS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending August 5th. The hottest week of the year so far, with temperatures over 90 degrees, intensified the dry conditions. Only a very few areas of the state received significant rainfall, while most of the state remained hot and dry. Spraying for soybean aphids and spider mites were reported in many soybean fields, which are currently entering the critical stage of setting and filling pods. Topsoil moisture was rated as 29% very short, 40% short, 31% adequate, and 0% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated at 33% very short, 41% short, 26% adequate, and 0% surplus. Precipitation ranged from 0 to 1.79 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 98 degrees to a low of 50. For the week ending Friday, 6.6 days were rated as suitable for field work. 98% of the corn planted acreage has silk, compared with 93% last year and 92% for the five-year average. 45% of the corn acreage is in the doughing stage, compared with 38% for last year and 35% for the five-year average. 5% of the corn acreage is dented, compared with 5% last year and 6% for the five-year average. The condition of the corn crop deteriorated from last week and was rated as 44% good to excellent, compared to 68% last year at this time. 92% of the soybean acreage is blooming, compared to 82% for last year and 85% for the five-year average. 60% of the soybean acreage is setting pods, compared to 44% for the last year and 49% for the five-year average. The soybean condition declined slightly from last week and was rated at 44% good to excellent, compared to 66% last year at this time. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NASS Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather. Your regional newscast is next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. State Comptroller Dan Hines is stepping up his criticism of Governor Rob Blagojevich over Illinois' budget crisis. Hines today complained that Blagojevich hasn't acted on legislation giving money to the families of slain soldiers and to hospitals that treat the poor. The bill has been sitting on the governor's desk for nearly 2 months, and the comptroller says Blagojevich's delay in taking action shows an insensitivity to people's pain. The legislation also includes money for legislative pay raises. Hines says the governor should veto that section if he objects to it. Bradley University in Peoria has picked Joanne Glasser, to be their new president, becoming the first woman to head the 110-year-old school. Glasser resigned as president of Eastern Kentucky University to become Bradley's 10th president, replacing David Broski, who left the post in June. The 12-member presidential search committee picked Glasser out of a field of 60 applicants from across the country. The defense has rested at the terrorism support trial of former Chicago gang member Jose Padilla in Miami. Padilla's lawyers didn't call any witnesses or put on any evidence for him, and that clears the way for prosecutors to put on rebuttal witnesses in advance of closing arguments next week. An Anderson, Indiana couple says they'll continue to fight in state courts after a federal judge dismissed their lawsuit challenging the local school district's new dress code. Laura and Scott Bell claim the dress code violates state guarantees of a free education and students' rights to free expression. More than 40 groups and agencies are taking part in Champaign-Urbana's National Night Out this evening from 5 till 8 p.m. at Champaign's Westside Park. Coordinators say the event spreads the message that neighborhoods will fight back against crime. Westside Park was the site of a shooting involving a man and Champaign police officers earlier this year. Coordinator Nancy Lohr of the United Way of Champaign County says the area has recovered well from that incident and that tonight's National Night Out will show that Westside Park remains a safe area for families. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
It's hot here. Is it going to stay that way?
It will. These are the dog days of summer, and we're looking at temperatures that will be hovering into the 90s, lower to mid-90s, probably all the way into early next week at the very least, and warm, muggy nights, 60s to lower 70s. And there's no indication that there's going to be any cooling anytime soon, at least for the next week or maybe longer.
Better tell me a little bit about conditions as they pertain to soil moisture across the Midwest and where this may or may not hurt the most.
Well, this is going to, I think, hurt the most across sections of Indiana and here in Illinois, northern Missouri, and the southern areas of Iowa. Those are the areas where soil moisture is lacking the most. We do expect some thunderstorm activity in some of those areas over the next few days. It's definitely going to be the northern areas that are going to fare the best in terms of chances for moisture. But I think those are the areas that are going to be hit the hardest with this hot weather coming our way.
Have you been watching what's been happening around the globe, for instance, with the Chinese corn crop? We haven't checked in on that one for a while.
Well, the weather in China has been pretty good in terms of timely rain. There's been plenty of heat, although nothing extraordinary. And right now, the weather continues to be favorable for crop development in central and eastern China, especially in some of the northern growing areas, as they're looking at what should be some decent chances for moisture and temperatures and conditions that don't look to be too bad. Temperatures averaging very close to normal. The exception would be the northern and some of the central areas that may be a tad hotter than normal.
About the time the harvest season kicks off here in the Midwest, they start planting soybeans in Brazil. Are they set up this year for a good start to the growing season?
Well, the Brazilian growing areas need some moisture. Soil moisture down there is lacking, especially in some of the growing areas of central, southeast, and southwestern areas of Brazil. They're pretty dry. Soil levels, moisture levels aren't good. Extreme southern Brazil and central and northern and eastern Argentina aren't doing bad. But there are areas in Argentina and Brazil that need more moisture.
That takes care of the major corn and soybean growing spots around the globe. We better check in on the wheat conditions as they wrap up harvest, I think, in Ukraine.
Well, they have had a weather pattern there lately that has been a little bit warmer and drier, and that trend is likely going to continue. The western Ukraine may have some wet areas, but it looks like for the wrapping up of harvest, there should not be any delays.
We appreciate you being with us, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Tuesday afternoon, and that is today's report. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first in-depth look at the day's markets. I'm Todd Gleason.